Cosgrove Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
The title for this morning's message is Who Shall Be Saved? Our text is found in Mark chapter 13, where the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. And he says, Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. Now those are very strong words, and the Lord is speaking of those who are opposed to the gospel will even betray to death their own family members because of their hatred of the message of the gospel. Now look in verse 13. And the Lord says to His disciples, And you shall be hated of all men for My name's sake. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Be saved is in the future tense. You could just as easily say, he that endures to the end shall be in heaven. Who shall be saved? Who shall be in heaven? Now, here is a sobering thought to think of. You and I will soon die, either tomorrow, in the next 5 minutes, or 50 years. It doesn't matter. It's still soon. All the things that we think of as being so important, we will see are not important. Not in light of this day. And you and I will spend eternity either in heaven, in the presence of Christ, or in hell. Now, I don't know how to describe very well either place. I know that hell is a place of the justice of God. It's God meting out perfect justice for a punishment that is eternal because of the sins men have committed. And with God, the punishment always fits the crime. He's not being too severe. God will reward the righteous, but He will punish the wicked. The people in hell deserve to be in hell. But there is a place called heaven, a place of bliss that I don't even know how to describe. I know Christ is there, and I know everybody there that is there has been saved and has been perfectly conformed to His image. Those who shall be saved are those who shall be in heaven. You and I will spend eternity in one of those two places. Now, I can't help but be struck with what the Lord says prior to saying who shall be saved. Brother shall betray brother to death. Siblings will cause each other to be put to death. Now, have you ever seen anything in the gospel that would stir up that kind of rage? You know, most preachers preach a God nobody would be mad at. Nobody would be afraid of. Kind of a peanut God that can't do His will unless we let Him. Now, such a God does not exist, but nobody's mad at that God. But the God of the Bible, the God who is absolutely sovereign, that's who God is. He controls everybody and everything. He's the first cause of every event. Doesn't matter what it is, He's the cause of it. He's God. He's in absolute control. Your salvation is not up to you, it's up to Him. Salvation is of the Lord. Now that God, men get mad at. They think, well, that's not fair for Him to be that way, for Him to save one and not save another, to not love all men the same and die for all men the same. That's not fair. Men sit in judgment on God and get angry with Him. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. They'll be so angry over this gospel that they believe. Now, let me pause for just a moment. And what is it that creates this kind of animosity? What is it that creates this war, as it were? Well, in war, what's going on? When one nation rises up against another nation, it's because that nation perceives that the nation that they're fighting is trying to take something from them. And they are protecting what they believe is their right. Or they are trying to take something from another nation that they believe is their right. And they justify themselves, and therefore you have war. Why, even when we are allied with some other nation to help them, it's because we have self-interest involved. If we didn't have any self-interest, we would not participate in that. Men will rise up and kill other men when they think something is being taken from them that belongs to them. Now, in the gospel, if I preach the gospel in such a way as you don't perceive anything is taken from you, if you preach the gospel in such a way that I don't perceive that anything is taken from me, I'm okay, you're okay, everything's fine. Let me give you an example. Without any question, the Bible teaches that God elected a people before time began to be saved. That's not up for debate. It's what the Bible teaches. Now, if someone says, well, I don't agree with that. I don't believe that. I will not worship a God like that. Now, if I would say, well, that's okay. You're still saved. I mean, it's just my opinion and your opinion. You're still saved. We're both going to the same place, even though we believe totally differently. You're not going to get upset with me. You're going to say, well, he can believe what he wants. You know, it's okay as long as I'm still saved. But if I preach election, the God of election, in such a way as to say, if you reject election, you reject God Himself. You're rejecting who He is. And if you reject who He is, you're not saved. Now we have a problem. Now people are going to get upset. Now people are going to become angry. As long as you can reject the truth and still be saved, I'm okay, you're okay, everything's fine. But when I perceive I'm losing something by it. Why? If what he's saying is so, then I'm not saved. He's implying that I'm not saved. That's when people get upset because they think something is being taken from them. And that's what the Lord is talking about when he talks about in these family situations, all these things that take place. Now, he says in verse 13, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. And indeed, every one of the apostles except for John was put to death, martyred, hated because of the gospel they preach. And John died on the Isle of Patmos in banishment. You shall be hated of all men for my sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, who shall be saved on that great day? I think of the majesty of this scripture in Matthew chapter 25, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them, one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. The sheep are the saved. The goats are the unsaved. Who shall be saved on that day? Now, I've got several statements from the Scripture that answer that question. Who shall be saved? Who will be in heaven? First, the people who shall be saved are the people who are already saved. Now, what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, here's what I mean. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, He saved us. He didn't offer salvation to us. He didn't make salvation available to us. He saved us. The people who will be saved are the people He has saved. He saved us and He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which were given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now think of the Scripture. He saved us and He called us. Which came first, the saving or the calling? The saving. He saved us. And because He saved us, He called us. He called us with a holy calling, not in response to something we've done, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I love the Scripture in Matthew 1:21, Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. The people that He saved before the foundation of the world are the people who are designated as His people. Who will be saved? The people that He has saved. Who shall be saved? The ones who must be saved. Let me repeat that. Who shall be saved? The ones who must. There is a necessity for their salvation. The people who must be saved are the people who shall be saved. Peter said in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see, everybody that God elected must be saved. Everybody that Christ died for must be saved. Everybody that God the Holy Spirit gives eternal life to must be saved. There is a necessity to the salvation of everybody God saves. Who shall be saved? The people He saved, the people who must be saved. And I love the way Luke summarizes the message of the day of Pentecost when 3,000 people were added to the church and more were added. Luke says it this way, He added daily to the church such as should be saved. Who shall be saved? Those who should be saved. Everybody He has saved. Now, who shall be saved? I love this. John chapter 3, verse 17 says, For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He's called in 1 John chapter 4, verse 14, the Savior of the world. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I love that verse of Scripture. I know that that verse of Scripture is used by religious people to teach that God loves all men without exception, and Christ died for all men without exception. And let me say this, if you preach that, you're not preaching the gospel, because you're making salvation dependent upon what man does. God's done what He can do, now it's up to you to do your part to make you saved. That's salvation by works. And as far as that goes, listen to this scripture. God so loved the world, thank God for that, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Oh, I love the whosoever's in the Bible. Whosoever. Are you whosoever? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, who shall be in heaven? Those people in the world that God so loved that believe the gospel, that call upon the name of the Lord. You see, this message we give indiscriminately to all men in the sense that if you believe, you'll be saved. The Lord said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. If you come, you will be received. The door is wide open for anybody who will come. Who shall be saved? All of those who believe. And then in Romans chapter 11, verse 26, we read this statement, all Israel shall be saved. All Israel. No Israelite is accepted. All Israel shall be saved. Now, I realize some people say, well, that's talking about this end time revival where many Jewish people will believe the gospel. Well, I hope that takes place, but that's not what the text says. The text says all Israel shall be saved. Who is Israel? All of the elect of God, every believer. He is not a Jew which is one outwardly, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. They are not all of Israel who are of Israel. Neither are they children because they are the seed of Abraham, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they that are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of the promise, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. You see, all of Israel is every believer, the true Jew. That's not talking about that nation in the Middle East. Every believer is a true Israelite. We are the circumcision. It's not like God has one plan for the Jews and one plan for Christians. No, that's foolishness. We are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Who shall be saved? The Ethiopian eunuch said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And their reply, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, believe on the Lord. That means He's the one who is in absolute control. He's the Lord. He's the Lord of creation. He's the Lord of providence. He controls everything. He's the Lord of salvation. That means if you're saved, it's up to Him. He's got to save you. You are in His hands. He's the Lord. He's Jesus. He's the Savior. He's the Christ. He's God's prophet like no other prophet. He never said, thus saith the Lord. He said, I say unto you. He's God's priest, the priest after the order of Melchizedek. He doesn't bring the blood of a sacrificial animal that can't take away sins, but He brings His own saving blood. He's God's King. He's the one whose will is always done and who has the power to save you and give you eternal life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Who will be saved? Those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They shall be saved. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Who shall be saved? The Lord said, I am the door. What a name for our Lord. Now, obviously, He's not a literal door. He's the Son of God. But He is the way into heaven. He's the door into heaven. He's the door into the kingdom of God. A door lets people in. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now, if you're saved, you know the only reason you're saved is because of the door, the Lord Jesus Christ. You couldn't come in on your own. You couldn't come in pleading your works or your experience or your efforts or your knowledge. You come in only by the door, the Lord Jesus Christ. And anyone who enters in by the door shall be saved. Now, who shall be saved? Who's going to be in heaven? What the Lord tells us, he that endures to the end. Now, when he's talking about enduring unto the end, in the context, he's talking about conflict. You're hated. The world has no love for you or the gospel you believe. There's disagreement. And a lot of people, I think of the parable of the sower, the people who received the word with joy immediately. I mean, as soon as they heard it, they said, I like this. But when persecution arises because of the word, they leave. They said, I didn't sign up for this. They don't like the results that come from believing the gospel and having men despise you for it. No love for the gospel you believe. He that endures to the end. Not he that begins, but he that endures to the end. The same shall be saved. Now, what this is talking about is the preservation and the perseverance of everybody that God saves. Now, what is the evidence? What is the evidence that God chose me to salvation? What is the evidence that Jesus Christ died for me and put away my sins? What is the evidence that God the Holy Spirit gave me a new nature and birthed me into the kingdom of heaven? What is the evidence that God has done something for me? I persevere all the way to the end. I don't quit. The Lord said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. But understand this thing of continuing all the way to the end. That does not mean remaining religious all the way to the end. There are a lot of people who remain religious all the way to the end. And as a matter of fact, when they stand before God on Judgment Day, they're going to bring that up. Lord, Lord, have we not preached in your name? In your name have we not cast out devils? In your name have we not done many wonderful works? They bring this all the way into the Judgment Day. And that's when Christ says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Now they remain religious unto the end. But this is not what the Lord is talking about when he says, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Now, who is this one who endures to the end? It's the one who perseveres in looking to Christ only as all they have. Now, let me repeat that. The one who perseveres to the end is the one who perseveres in looking to Christ only as all they have. We are made partakers of Christ, Hebrews 3:6, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Paul said in Colossians 2:6, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord. How'd you receive Him? Empty-handed. You didn't have anything to bring to the table. You didn't have any contributions to make. All you could claim as your own is your sin. Nothing else. All you had for God to accept you is for Him to look to Christ for everything He requires of you. The only righteousness you had is His. The only sin payment you had was the payment He accomplished. Your only hope of being accepted by God was Him. I mean, He's all you had for salvation. You didn't have anything else to plead but Him. Now here's the key to perseverance. You never graduate past that. You know, religious people, they're always talking about changed lives and how the Lord has delivered them and they don't do this anymore and they don't do that anymore. They're ex-sinners is what it comes down to. They're ex-sinners. They can just boast about themselves and so on, and their hope is found in what they think about themselves. Well, they've left the gospel a long time ago if that's their attitude. The only hope any believer has is that at all times, everything God requires of me, He looks to His Son for. And He is all I have. I'm like that thief. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Not remember my works. Not remember all the good things I've done. Not remember all the religious things I've done. Lord, remember me in mercy when you come back as a mighty reigning king. Now it's he that endures to the end that shall be saved. That means somebody who is dead in sins is going to be brought to the place where they're perfectly conformed to the image of Christ. And in heaven, God's going to look them over and He's going to say, I don't remember your sin. Not because He forgot it, but because there's nothing there to remember. You stand perfect in God's sight. Now, who is it that shall be saved? He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Who shall be saved? Let me close with this. Sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Who shall be saved? The people He intended to save. Sinners. Now we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Neibert praying that God will be pleased to make Himself known to you. That's our prayer. Amen.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send a request to todd.neibert@gmail.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.